think we'll take what we can get, right? Thank you, Brian. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Our scripture this morning, we're not going there quite yet, but we're in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Jesus is God. You ever have anything happen in your life that's so exciting you just can't help but share it? Maybe a fishing story? Something that happens and you're just busting at the seams. Gotta go tell somebody. I want to share it. Maybe you've learned something. All of a sudden you've been wrestling with something, you've been trying to figure something out, and all of a sudden it just, bam, it comes to your mind. Mind is a strange thing. I don't know about you all, but sometimes it seems like my mind does some work in the night when I'm sleeping. Sometimes you wake up and something will just come to your mind and you'll understand it. Yeah, you have these aha moments in your life where you just feel like you're beginning to get it. Those of us who are studying Acts on Wednesday nights, I find it interesting. We've been talking about some of those moments that the early followers of Jesus Christ were capturing or coming to understand. John, in the writing of this scripture, the writing of his gospel, has come to that point. He's had many of those light bulb moments. And he wants to share it. He wants to explain what all he's learned. He wants us to know. He wants us to come to know the one he serves, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of the four gospels written, John's gospel speaks the highest of the divinity of Jesus. It's not that the other three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, don't speak of it, but John speaks, I think, in the highest of that manner. He often speaks of Jesus from that perspective as his equalness with God the Father. He says it himself as the author. He also quotes others in the midst of his narration, in the midst of what he's saying. He speaks of others, things that Jesus says, and of course what some others say about him. And one of the verses that that sticks to my mind that I think of often is Thomas, which for some reason sometimes we have a tendency to call him Doubting Thomas. I don't like it. They all wrestle with doubts. But here's Thomas, when he had met the resurrected Jesus, knew who he was, had that light bulb moment, and he says, "My Lord and my God." John has a lot to say over his 21 chapters, speaking about Jesus and his deeds. And many of those deeds that Jesus performs, you understand, took place, if you know your Old Testament, many of those deeds happened as well in the Old Testament. Other individuals done many of those things, were mimicking them. Think about it. Moses and Aaron and the miracles that they performed before Pharaoh. The prophet Elijah calls down miraculous fire upon a wet altar. There are miraculous feedings and a miraculous birth, not as Jesus was, but there are miraculous births. You may remember Sarah having a child when she was, the Bible says she was way beyond the age of childbearing. So when you look at Jesus, say, what's the difference? We had all these exciting things happen in the Old Testament. Yeah, okay, he's had some exciting things that's happened in the New Testament. But you see, there was something different about Jesus. Yes, the truth that he resurrected himself, something different than any of the rest of them did. But much of everything else he done, you could look back and you could find incidents in the Old Testament where it was mimicked. So you say, well, there's these Old Testament prophets and he's a New Testament prophet. But John wants you to know Jesus is much more than that. Listen as John explains who he worships. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen the glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who made is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Lim, would you lead us in prayer? Spend the rest of our lives just considering and pondering these words, though there is much more in this book and even in John's Gospels that we can study and that we can learn about God. John wanted us to know who Jesus was. He couldn't have given any more higher words than these words as to who Jesus was. Church tradition suggests, though it's not declared in the Bible, that John the Apostle... Now keep in mind, anytime you see the name John in his gospel, he's not talking about himself. He never mentions his own name. But here in this case, he's speaking about John the Baptist, the one who baptized Jesus, the messenger that Malachi spoke of that was going to come and prepare the way for the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But church tradition suggests that, though it's not declared in the Bible, that John was a disciple of John the Baptist prior to becoming one of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. It's thought, again, it's not in the Bible, but early tradition, the church believes that this is a reference to actually John himself, that he was one of these two, in John chapter 1, verses 35 and 37. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Perhaps this is why John speaks so, and I know the other gospel writers do, but perhaps this is why John speaks so highly of John the Baptist. Because he knew he had much to say, that he was a righteous man. Jesus spoke so highly of John the Baptist, he said, of those born of women, there are none better. There are none higher. And yet comparison, well, she'll say there is no comparison between John the Baptist and Jesus. So John speaks of John the Baptist. He includes him in his opening words, recognizing the special role that God had given him that he performed. John is an important prophet sent by God. So many of the Old Testament prophets and individuals that we read about, they are important. They are valuable for us to read about and to learn and to understand, but there is no comparison between any of those and the Lord Jesus Christ. John's terminology may seem a little foreign to 21st century ears when he speaks using what is translated as word. The term translated as word perhaps at the time had a double meaning to the audience that was reading this gospel. Word, which it's a translation, I'm not sure of the pronunciation, I've heard it different ways, but logos or logos, logos, L-O-G-O-S is the Greek word that's translated word. And to the Greeks, that means basically divine reason. In other words, it's not necessarily known where that divine reason come from, but there is a divine reason. So when John is saying word, the Greeks who were listening to that might have been thinking he's talking about divine reason, which he was in another way. But there are those who, and there are people today I know who have this concept that there's something out there. There is a knowledge. There is information that is there that we just simply discover. I think about it, at least especially when you think about it in mathematics. I think the same thing as most of anything in science. We're not really creating things, right? We're discovering things. And especially, think about it from the mathematics perspective. You know, that's one thing I liked about math. You know, once you figure out how it works, that's how it works. And that's supposed to how it all the time works. Now, you get into physics and the micro, that's another that blows my mind. I tried to take a physics class, and I lasted about 2 weeks, and said, nah, it's not for me. But mathematics, you know, we just discover, understand what it means. And somebody very smart, somebody wrestles with all these, you know, I don't understand when someone feels, anybody here do that, feel chock-full full of a bunch of formulas and all that stuff. It's just a foreign language to me. But you understand, there was this concept, this divine reason that is there, and we're just out trying to discover it, trying to figure it out. See, John's saying, I figured it out. I know where that divine reason is. It is Jesus Christ. Now, for the Jews, when they hear the word word, they think about it from God's perspective. God's word. That's the word that that John would have been speaking to those Jews who understood and knew the Old Testament. God's word is divine direction that comes from the God they know, that they can read about in their scriptures. Both of those, can you see, are wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the words, or the word that John used pertaining to Jesus. Now, when believers read the text today, and again, I know this is sort of simplification, but it's also true, you could simply read it as this way, at least his first verse. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. People can share the Word of God, just like I am here this morning. Some are led by God to do certain things, some very miraculous things at times that we read about in the Old Testament. We are given duties and directions that if we're desiring to honor Him with our lives, we each and every one of us could be on a regular basis serving God, doing things that bring blessing and honor to the God who created us. People can share these things, but I want to tell you, when Jesus is speaking, God is speaking. It's funny watching the gospel, and even into Acts, you read the gospels and you watch the disciples wrestle with trying to figure out who Jesus is and who he who he has come to do and what he's doing and what all is happening. And I want to tell you, as we study Acts, I've come to the conclusion that even at the end of their lives, the disciples still didn't totally get it. They got a lot of things. Don't misunderstand me. And we've talked about how exciting it would have been to stand there before him. But listen, Jesus is God. So for us to ever think that we're going to understand it all, we should reach for it. Don't get me wrong. There's things for us to learn. We can continually mature and grow, like the basketball player that Joe talked about this morning. It is intended for us to grow and learn, but we also got to understand to some extent. We're never going to fully come to a complete understanding of everything there is to know about God. Understand, He is God, and Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Previously, God came through human beings, dreams, and angels. And in the first century, He came in the flesh. I see five things this morning that John wants us to know about Jesus, or as he refers to, the Word. We want to see this Word was a creator, was the creator. This Word is eternal. And this Word is concerning knowledge. Jesus is the Word, the knowledge. Jesus, or the Word, was human. And it also, this Word, or Jesus, come to offer grace. Jesus is the Creator. John says, in Him was life, and all things were made by Him. And I don't know about you, but that covers a lot of things. When the Bible says all things, I'm just a simple hillbilly. I think, that's all things? That is everything that we know as concerning creation. Now listen, man can change things, right? We can transition things. We can take things, we can put them together. We can take what God has already given us and push and pull it and make it look different or react differently as we put things together. But ultimately, we're only dealing with what God has given us. He's created everything. When we look around into the mountains and the skies and the moons and the stars, and you know, I don't follow science. Truthfully, I don't have time, but it's interesting. It seems like every time you turn around, they talk about discovering something. We discovered a new planet, new stars, and oh, there's an asteroid coming. All of these things that they're seeing, but I want to tell you, all was created by Jesus that I worship this morning. He's the creator. He brought light, and he said, and then notice he says he brought light into the world. He brought light into everything. All, that is everything. And James puts it this way: all good things come from God. So there's things in our lives that we recognize and know as light. Now we might argue, we do, about what's light, what's dark, what's good, what's bad. But ultimately, all those things in our lives that is good has its root in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light. He is the light, even in those who have no interest in Him, have no interest in worshiping Him, wouldn't put their name on their lips unless it's used in a derogatory manner. The light that they have, that's still rooted in Jesus Christ. He is the Creator. And praise God, would you say this morning, we're thankful that He is a light that cannot be overcome. He said He would build this church and there was nothing that was going to be overtaken. Is eternal. Jesus Christ is eternal. That means, at least from our perspective, listen, I know, I can remember even from a young child, thinking about something that's eternal can also just stress me out. On both ends of it, you think about, wait a minute, it never started, wait about it, it never ends. I can remember even thinking about going to heaven. As a young person, I think, well, won't you at some point get tired? Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years? Won't we get tired? Yeah, am I the only dummy that sometimes thinks about these things? You just wonder, what's it like? But I want to tell you, if you believe what the Bible says, Jesus is eternal. That is, there is no beginning. There is not a time that we can put our finger and say, this is when He came about. Now, yes, there is a time when He came about in the first century, but it was a different version. It was a way God presented Himself to us. But Jesus is eternal. There was never a time that He was not. He is knowledge, or He is the Word. He is divine reason. I was thinking about sharing the scripture that Joe shared, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, about getting direction from God. Listen, we get our direction from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the knowledge. There's nothing in, that's going on in our lives that we can't seek out and get some direction and help from Him. It's not like He says, I don't know about that problem. You'll have to take that to somebody else. We can take it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the knowledge. Do you appreciate Him? Do you thank Him for those things in life? And when we do have those aha moments, do you thank Him for it? Isn't it amazing, it is to me when I think about it, that even our ability to understand and respond to God is directed by Him. Peter was told, whenever he was excitedly said, you know, Jesus is the Messiah, he recognized who Jesus was, and Jesus says, Peter, it's great that you have that, it's great that you know that, but understand, God gave that to you. Even our faith originates in Him. Now, we choose to respond to that, but you didn't find Him on your own. He came to you first. Now, I would imagine He probably came to you in many ways and you didn't even realize it. He is the knowledge. He doesn't just give knowledge. I'm here giving you knowledge. At least I hope I am. I'm trying to share some things that bring value to your lives, as I hope you try to do with others in your lives. But He is the knowledge. Again, humanity. He is human. He came and lived amongst us. That's what I'm saying. There was a time when Jesus was different, and then He chose to come to us as a little child in the first century. And He came and He lived as a human being, just like you and I. What does that say? It says He can empathize with anything and everything that we deal with. No, He never dealt with Facebook. He never listened to CNN talk about everything that's bad in your life, per se. At least not at the time when he was here on earth. But ultimately, any emotion, anything that we've dealt with, death and pain and suffering, emotional pain, physical pain, Jesus felt it all. He chose to step down from glory and put on human flesh and deal with all of those things so that He could totally and completely understand what we're going through. So that there's nothing that you can't go to Him about, and He can say again, I never dealt with that. I'm not sure. He's been through it. He can empathize with you in the midst of it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, I know I may go too far with this idea, but I've heard people discuss it, and I think it's interesting. The word translated dwelt is actually the same word in the Old Testament for tabernacled. Now, Jesus came and tabernacled amongst us. Just this idea again of what was the tabernacle? The tabernacle was the presence of God to the Jews. Jesus Christ is the presence of God to us now. He came. He was fully human, just as we are fully human. And the Bible seems to indicate, I'm not suggesting I understand it all, but we know His risen body was different. He still had the human body. He ate amongst them, but He also showed up in different places and went inside. The resurrected Jesus walked through doors, but He's still physically a man. And I believe, and I think the Scripture teaches that at some point, we're going to see Jesus in the flesh just as He was in the first century. Don't you praise Him that He came to offer grace. John does some contrasting there in his words that we read about Moses. Moses came to give the law. He came to give us some instructions. He came to point the way, just as I hope and pray that I'm helping point the way. As I've told you, I feel as though I'm sort of like a museum curator or whatever, pointing and showing you things that I see, things that I know, things that I recognize. But ultimately, Moses was not God. Moses was simply one who was serving God, but the Lord Jesus Christ is God, and He come to offer grace. Law is not grace. Grace is something that we do not deserve. Law is helping us to understand where we stand. And listen, we should check ourselves periodically. It's important for us as Christians. Much of the New Testament is written about helping us how to live the way we ought to be living. We should be checking ourselves against what is right and what is good. I had a conversation just this week with a co-worker of mine. we were talking about, somehow we got in the discussion about eternity and what's going to happen on the other side. And he seemed to recognize that there was something on the other side, and he was wondering whether he's going to get there or not. And he was hoping, boy, I hope I'm good enough. Boy, wouldn't it be terrible if I get on the other side and realize I wasn't good enough? And I said, listen, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came because we were not good enough. None of us are good enough. I told him that. I said, you're not good enough. And I know it, not because, I said, I might have messed with him a little bit. I know your life. But I said, I also know what the Word of God says. Even John the Baptist, Jesus spoke so highly of him, he needed the Lord Jesus Christ in order to obtain the grace and mercy that we need in order to receive eternal life. He came to offer grace, but many in his day, sadly, did not believe him. But, he says, but those who did believe, he brought about a rebirth. I don't want to spend too much time on John chapter 3, but I would hope you're pretty familiar with John chapter 3 and that discussion with Nicodemus. And many of us probably know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. In the midst of that discussion, Jesus is talking to a Jewish religious leader, one in the Sanhedrin, who understood there was a God, had a desire to serve God, but he didn't quite yet understand his need to respond in childlike faith to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive the grace that God so freely offers to us all. Jesus came, as Lynn said in his prayer, to swing open the curtain, to give us the ability to go to God on an individual basis. Listen, I've said it enough, and I'm sure you guys know enough, you don't need me to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to call me up and say, hey, Rick, what's Jesus say about this situation? Praise God, you can have a conversation with him. And I hope you do. But notice, too, he says, but those who did that, he changed them. They're reborn. Understand, this is a God thing. This is something that God has done that he will do for you if you respond in faith. He says they're not born of blood. In other words, they're not a natural birth, not of the will of the flesh or of man. Simply childlike faith. I don't understand. If Lim comes to my house tomorrow morning and he says, hey, I'm going to take you to Florida to spend a couple of weeks. I've already taken care of your vacation. The company doesn't care that you're leaving. The pulpit's going to be fulfilled. Let's just go. Let's head on down. We're going to go to Florida. You need a little bit of time. You and your wife need a little time in Florida. I'm taking you down there. Ah, yes, I know. I would still probably check and make sure and verify a few things. But listen, I just need, if I want to receive what Lim is offering to me, I got to get in the car. I have to intentionally get in the car. Sadly, there were many people in that day that Jesus was standing there saying, I'm here. This is grace. This is mercy. It's not about how good you are. It's not about who you are. It's not about where you're from, what color you are, what language you speak. It's about responding. Jesus is saying it's about responding to me. It's my hope and my prayer this morning that you understood, that you understand who Jesus is, how special he is, that you've responded him with that childlike faith and you've received that rebirth that Jesus says is absolutely necessary. You must be born again. John wants you to know he's an eyewitness of God in the flesh. I want to ask you this morning, have you truly responded to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you understand how special he is? And I like Lim. I'm sorry. I'm talking about Lim too much this morning. I got to come up with some negative things to say here. but Lim talks about using the name Jesus. Think about your life for a minute. How many times are you willing to say God? I pray to God. I'm talking about speaking to your family. I'm talking about speaking to the community. I'm talking about speaking to your coworkers. How often and how easy is it to say, and don't we naturally find ourselves saying, yeah, I serve God. But I want to tell you, there's another level that we need to step up to, and we need to refer to Jesus Christ. We serve God. We worship God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be using his name on a positive way. I say that sadly because many people use his name derogatory. Isn't it interesting that Jesus and mothers, the two individuals who should be considered high in our lives, we often use them in a derogatory manner. Jesus Christ, is he on the end of your tongue? Do you sometimes share him or speak about how you worship Jesus Christ? I want to encourage you, the next time, if you're thinking about sharing something to somebody else about God, say Jesus. It means something. There is no other name given among men whereby we might be saved. Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh, we thank you. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. We need it this morning. Lord, if there's anything that's going on in our lives right now that needs to be adjusted, that needs to be fixed, that needs to be given over to you, I ask you to encourage each of us to individually seek to give that up, to hand it over to you, Lord. You are wisdom. You are direction. Help us, Lord, to truly serve you in a way not only that brings honor to you, Lord, but ultimately help us to see how it's what's right and good for us. We thank and we praise in Jesus' name. Amen. What do we have and what page is it? Just as I am. Don't you praise him? He doesn't ask us to clean up. He says, come just as you are.
Father, we do thank you for this time, for this word, dear Lord, as it speaks to our hearts, and knowing that we need to come to you. And because of your promises, we do believe. We want to take those promises with us as we leave this place today. And like Rick said, we need to share that word. We need to show people our faith. We need to help them to understand and gain that knowledge of who your Son is. Bless us all. Be with our families. Give us safe travels. Watch over us and guide us until we come again. In Jesus' name, amen.